okay? All right, so before I get started, I'm very new. I started this position just last August, so I want to give a little bit of about my background and where I've come from. So I've grown up here in Alaska, in Eagle River, went to school at Montana State University in Bozeman, and I actually have an animal science degree with an equine emphasis, so I'm a horsey girl. I also have a business minor in business administration minor. And after I finished college, I stayed in the lower 48 for a year, and then I came back, and I was very lucky to get a position out of the Plant Materials Center with the Division of Agriculture in the invasive weed program. So I worked on the Canada Thistle project for a summer, and they kept me on for about a year after that working on other invasive weed projects. So I really got to know and love the invasive weed side of it in Alaska and started learning about the other invasives. But at that time, since it was a non-permanent position, I was still looking for a permanent position, and the marketing position came open at the Division of Agriculture, so I applied and was thankfully accepted. So I was doing that for the past couple of years, working with the Alaska Grown program and with the Farm to School program. Unfortunately, last year during the legislative session, the funding got cut for my program. So because they didn't have a state survey coordinator, they offered the position to me because I have some invasive background, and I accepted. So as of August, I've been working on the CAPS program and trying to just immerse myself in figuring out all the different aspects. Where I am weak at this point and starting to try and build my knowledge base is definitely in entomology and in pathology. And thankfully, I'm working with a great group of people who going strong, know what they're doing, and are willing to help me learn. So that's pretty much what I'm going to be doing my first year, is just doing a lot of research and learning. A little bit about me. So what is CAPS? Well, CAPS is the Cooperative Agricultural Pest Survey, and it is a survey that's housed within the Plant Protection and Quarantine Program, which is a program within the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, which is within the United States Department of Agriculture. So that's how it all rolls out. And that URL is the CAPS homepage. If you want more information on it, that would be the place to go. If anybody's writing that down, I'll wait a minute.
And we'll post these on our website as well.
Okay, perfect. All right, so what's the purpose of the CAPS program? Well, the purpose is to confirm the presence or absence of plant pests impacting the domestic and international movement of plants and plant products, to provide a distribution profile of plant pests in the U.S. deemed to be of concern to international trade, early detection and rapid response of exotic pest infestations, maintain a pest information database to support U.S. agricultural trade, and to enhance national communication and education on pests, their life cycles, pathways of transport, and control. So the CAPS program has a lot of different functions that we're supposed to be performing. So their CAPS program is actually a nationwide program. Every state has a CAPS program, but as you can imagine, every state focuses it differently depending on what that state's concerns are. So we at the Division of Agriculture have a cooperative agreement with APHIS to prioritize pest of control in Alaska, to coordinate surveys in Alaska for exotic pests of concern to international trade, to ensure that all surveys follow the protocols provided by the Plant Protection and Quarantine Program, to enter all data into appropriate databases in a timely manner, and to cooperate with other agencies and individuals to educate the public about exotic pests and help disseminate pest information made available from APHIS. So basically, as the Division of Agriculture doing a cooperative agreement with the CAPS program, we are performing the functions of CAPS for APHIS. Now, how it all works. So we come up with survey requests, and we put those to USDA APHIS. They say yes, and then we get the funding for that. Because the Division of Agriculture is very small, we have to do cooperative agreements with other agencies in order to perform our surveys, because we have some surveys that are quite larger. So we work currently with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service to perform these surveys throughout the state of Alaska. So we give them funding and traps and the information from the plant, the quarantine program to do the surveys, and then they perform the surveys, and they also perform outreach efforts because they're the boots on the ground. People are there when they're setting out the traps asking questions. So we provide them with education materials as well. And then when the survey's all over, they give us the survey result, I input it into their database, and then we give the results back to APHIS. It's the basics of how it all rolls through. We also work with the U.S. Forest Service and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection and other agencies to put traps in locations where we normally can't get to, such as behind fences at airports or different locations that are high-risk pathways where exotics can get in, but we don't always have access to. So we try and work with a bunch of different entities to get these surveys going. There are numerous pest lists that we use to try and determine which surveys we want to do. There is the Alaska Prairie Pest List, which is the list that we put together. Then there's the National Analytical Hierarchy Process Prioritized Pest List, which is a ranking of 108 pests that are expected to cause damage to agricultural and or natural resources if introduced to the United States. And then there's also the Pests of National Concern, which may contain the same pests as the AHP list, but they're grouped by the commodity at that risk. So for the Pests of National Concern, they group it by, they put potatoes and then all the pests associated with that, and then grapes and then all the pests that are associated with that. So these are the three lists that we use to try and determine which surveys we're going to use the CAPS funding for. Now, how are surveys chosen? Well, in Alaska and in most states, we have what's called a state CAPS committee. And the core of this committee is the state plant health director, the plant pest survey specialist, the state plant regulatory officer, and the state survey coordinator. Now, the state plant health director and the pest survey specialist are both housed within APHIS, and they are actually in Washington. Washington and Alaska share a state plant health director and a pest survey specialist. The state plant regulatory officer and myself, the state survey coordinator, are both housed within the Division of Agriculture here in Alaska, and the state plant regulatory officer for Alaska is Mia Kirk. But it's not just us, we're just the core. We also involve entomologists, pathologists, invasive weed experts, representatives from state and federal agencies, industry representatives from agriculture and forestry to determine what is the best use of the CAPS funding. So we try and make the CAPS funding count as much as possible. Now, there are actually two pots of money that we get our money from. We've got the CAPS program, which gives us a certain amount of funding every year, and it's actually quite small. We only have about $10,000 to do those surveys. So we really have to focus what we can do the surveys on, because those surveys have to come from the federal pest list. We also put in for farm bill requests through the CAPS program so that we can kind of increase the amount of surveys that we can do and maybe not have them have to be on the federal pest list. We can do some more surveys that are more focused on pests of concern to Alaska that might not be a federal concern. So for 2015, the surveys that we had planned to do was an Asian gypsy moth survey, which included a dun moth, pink rosy gypsy moth, and Siberian silk moth survey. Now, because we did not have a state survey coordinator from June to August of last year, this survey was only performed through the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service. The portion that the division was supposed to do was not completed. The exotic slug and terrestrial snail survey and the exotic wood-boring bark beetle survey that we were supposed to perform as well were not performed because we didn't have a state survey coordinator. However, I have put in extension requests for the exotic slug and terrestrial snail survey and the exotic wood-boring bark beetle surveys to perform them in 2016. I have not heard back yet. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. They tell me no news is good news, so I'm going with them, going to be able to do them. And then for 2016, I've also put in another gypsy moth survey, including all of those, and just a larger exotic wood-boring bark beetle survey. So for the gypsy moth survey, that encompasses the whole of Alaska. For the exotic slug and terrestrial snail survey, we have in the past different years focused on different areas. This year, we're going to be focusing on the southeast and possibly Cordova, because those are areas that we have seen exotics before. And then the exotic wood-boring bark beetle survey, again, is going to be more of a, not as big, but still a statewide survey. So once we perform the surveys, my job is to enter all the survey data information as yes, we found something or no, we didn't find anything, into the NAPIS National Agricultural Pest Information System database, which is controlled and housed within Purdue University. There is also the IFIS, the Integrated Plant Health Information System. This database is there to create a database with real-time information from the Plant Protection and Quarantine Program, their survey, regulatory, diagnostics, and control. And we have access to this database for our own purposes to see what's going on elsewhere, to see if we should be looking for certain things. The NAPIS database has a public website, which is on here, the pest.crs.purdue.edu. So you can go and see what we've performed in the past and what we found and what we haven't found. So it's all public information. We do have quite a few challenges for trying to decide what we want to survey for and how we do our surveys here in Alaska. Number one is, how do you compare potato pests to peony pests to forest pests? It's really hard to determine which one is more important. It's not really a matter of more important, it's a matter of which one is going to, we're going to do the survey on. So that can be difficult. Then there's multi-state collaboration. There are a lot of things, pests in Alaska, that we don't have in Alaska that are in the lower 48. So we work very closely with a lot of the lower 48 states to try and keep out the pests that they have that we don't want. And then just the cost per trap. As we are all aware, it can be very difficult surveying in Alaska for the fact that we are large, we are roadless, and travel is expensive. Lower 48 CAPS programs don't quite understand that it takes us more dollars to put out less traps because we have all these different logistics. Most of the time we have to fly to our survey locations if they're not directly in the Anchorage Fairbanks areas. So that is the basics of the CAPS program. Does anybody have any questions about CAPS or what we'll be planning for next year?
So I'm interested in that Purdue database, for example. I'm wondering, I'm just thinking about communication within Alaska. We could go and learn to use that database to see what results you have, but is there an annual summary or some way that you could like tell the Alaskan entomologists any kind of interesting findings or something or maybe point us to that database, go check it out, or something so that we get that kind of information?
Yeah, that database isn't really up to date as we enter it and then it's right away on the database. That one is a little slower, but we can definitely set up some type of information flows where I tell you guys or I give you guys our reports at the end of the season, because we do have to fill out reports for the CAPS program and send it into APHIS. And those are public, so I can get those out to you guys and you can see what we found, what we haven't found, where we've been looking, because we're completely public. None of what we do is private, except for maybe information on where we're taking the surveys, because sometimes we go to public or we go to private locations. But that would be the only information that we wouldn't be able to share, because that's private landowner information. But yeah, I'm more than happy to share that information.
Great. Yeah, and I'll read you. I was going to ask you exactly the same questions if you could have, if there was going to be an annual report. So we'd love to know what you find every year.
Yeah. So far, nothing. Except the exotic snails, but I can share
even the negative reports, that is something too.
Another year with no exotic pests found in Alaska, exclamation point.
Just that we've been looking for, though.
Right.
Small. But yeah, no, I'll definitely, I'm not sure who to talk to, but work with somebody and get that information you guys so you can share it.
Great.
I have another question. The Alaska Fish and Pest List is not necessarily composed only of those pests that are APHIS regulated pests, right? That can be pests that might be native to the lower 48,
right,
but aren't native to Alaska, correct?
Right, so it's the Alaska Pest Priority List is the list that the CAPS committee puts together. It's not the list that the state has put together. So it's stuff that the CAPS program specifically is looking for, and it involves not just exotic pests, but also invasive weeds and also pathogens that we want to keep an eye out for that we don't want in the state. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how that list works with the CAPS program, but as far as I can tell, it's just something for us to keep an eye on.
I've got a question. So in the surveys, what did you find in exotic pests?
I have to report it within 48 hours, and if it's through the CAPS program, it's a federal pest of concern. So APHIS would come in and help us manage the pest, and we are currently working on putting together basically a response timeline, because unfortunately we don't have one yet for the CAPS program. So we're putting that together so that when we do, or hopefully if we ever get one, we'll be ready to respond. If it's not on the federal list, APHIS won't help, and then we'll have to figure out another course of action, but that would be definitely between us and our other state partners, because the state of Alaska does have some regulations when it comes to certain pests.
Do you have any idea what it takes to edit or append the national list? So if you had something that you recognize as this could be a big deal, as a real concern, is there, how does it get elevated? Do you know?
I don't know how the national list, well, the national list, the analytical hierarchy process, if you go to the CAPS webpage, I actually have, I think I put. On this website, it puts up all the list, and it actually has one document that lists out how they make that list. So there's this big equation they use. That might answer your question for the national list. I don't think we can put out suggestions, but as far as the state list is concerned, it goes to, the CAPS committee list is just something we're looking for, it's not regulatory. For the state side of it, there we do have some that we regulate. For that to list to be changed, it has to go through the legislature process to be changed and updated. I have my cards if you think of any questions later or want to share information or my little spiel. I'm learning, so if you think of anything that can help me out, any courses, let me know. I'm definitely interested in learning. So thank you very much for having me.